Are you looking for new books to read? Do you like finding a new special author? Are you tired of the same old books from the same old authors? Well then, welcome to Discovered Wordsmiths, a podcast where you can hear from fantastic new authors. Join Stephen Schneider as he finds and talks to authors you may not know, but authors that have worked hard to write great new books. Hear about their book and why you should check it out. So sit back and listen to today's Discovered Wordsmith.
Hello, we're JP
and Christine,
co-host of The Serial Fiction Show. Do you like to read or write serial fiction and want to learn more? We have two podcasts, The Reader Serial Fiction Show and The Writer Serial Fiction Show.
On The Reader's podcast, we escape into a new serial each week, then interview the author to tell us more. On The Writer Serial Fiction Show, we break the serial episode down with the author and talk craft, upping our serial fiction game together. Come get lost in serial fiction and meet some amazing authors along the way to get you reading and writing serial fiction.
So hop on over to serialfictionshow.com and check it out.
We hope to see you there.
All right, welcome to episode 91 of Discovered Wordsmiths. And one of those voices you just heard talking about the Serial Fiction Show was JP, who is our guest on today's podcast. I met JP through Jay Thorne's Author Success Mastermind group, and I've known JP going on 2 years now, I believe. We've had some good times. He's a great guy, funny, and I really wanted to get him on the show because he's unique. He uses tarot to help do his writing. He has written some dark fantasy. He's written a lot with other people. So he's got some unique insights into writing and thoughts and how to do things. And besides, he's got one of the best names I think I've ever heard. So sit back and enjoy this episode with JP. All right, JP. Yeah, party time. Thanks for being on the podcast. How you doing today?
I'm excellent. How are you?
Not too bad, you know, considering it's beginning of November. So
yeah,
I like this season, so.
I generally do too, up until about January or February, then it's too cold.
Oh, I used to not care, and then I got old, and it makes a big difference.
Yeah. So. Yeah, ever since the minus 50 outside, that broke me. I'm just like, nah, done with you, winter.
Oh yeah, just wait till you get up another 5-10 years, and suddenly everything changes. JP, we're just chatting. We've talked for about a year and a half now on Jay's Mastermind, but everybody else listening probably doesn't know anything about you. Tell us a little bit about yourself, besides writing.
I'm JP. I have a bachelor's degree in biochemistry, and I took the science route in life. And I worked in quality ever since I graduated college, all the way up into working for a radionuclear isotope injectable plant, which is really fun to say. But yeah, I love science. I love video games, because of course I do. And I'm a big movie buff. So that's, I guess, me in a nutshell.
Okay, well, what's the current movie and video game?
Okay, we're halfway through Dune because my partner can't seem to finish a movie one sitting. So,
wow, that's like only a third of the whole thing, too.
I know. It's really fun to watch because I remember reading it and then also watching the 90s miniseries on sci-fi. And so it's fun seeing all the correlations between everything.
Nice. And what's your current video game?
What current video game did I have? I just started playing this weird game called The Last Stop. I really like weird indie games, and I also the Telltale-esque choose-your-own-adventure games, so this one really hit all the buttons. It's a little odd, not the best game, but it is fun.
Yeah, if you like those type of games, listen, I've got two episodes coming up with some guys that actually worked on those Telltale games, The Walking Dead and Batman and stuff.
Interesting. We didn't plan this, but I'm very excited for that.
Yeah, it was a great talk. I got all fanboy on them. So we forgot to talk about the books on the one guy and had to call back and say, okay, let's talk about books. Tell us, I didn't have a reason for asking this. Tell us what your day job is at the moment.
I work for a very international food distribution company that you probably don't know their name, but 90% of the food in your pantry is from us.
Oh, wow.
In one shape or another, and all the fast food restaurants and everything. But I implement software, which is very strange and not at all what biochemists do anymore. So I don't know how I got there, but that's just what I do.
Right. And if I recall, this isn't the same job you started the year with. And if did you have something else? At the beginning,
that's mostly right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's mostly right.
What prompted that change? Author stuff here already.
I think I don't know what direction you are leaning towards, okay, but this actually.
let me ask this, man. Being a little bounce around the bush, you talked about how you changed something with your job so you could devote more time to writing.
Yeah. So that actually happened in 2018.
Oh, okay.
I think 2018. So now that I've caught your drift, I was working at that medical radioisotope company, which was a startup. And there's a fun thing about startups. You don't work 40 hours a week. You generally work like 60, 80. I couldn't do that. I really wanted to write. It was the thing I really wanted to give time to. And I'm not a person that can devote 60, 80 hours a week to the day job and do writing. So I made the choice with a minor pay cut to go to a different company, and one that I'm not going to say was respectful to time, but was more balanced with that work-life balance. And it has been relatively nice to me. It's been a good transition period in getting me closer to what I want to do.
And I wanted to bring that up because I think that's something a lot of people may think about or struggle with. It's too scary sometimes. And I think the older you get, the worse it can get. You start getting a house and family and a horse and whatever else. And so you're like, I don't want to do that. So I think that's encouraging to hear because a lot of the people listening to the podcast are authors who hope to get a book out. And sometimes we question.
Definitely. And I think that there was a level of comfort with money that I had to deal with because I could keep going the route I wanted to go. I was on the manager path, but you're talking like I was going to be making six figures probably by the end of that year. And I said, and in the Midwest. So in the Midwest, making six figures is pretty top tier, I would consider. And I said no to that because I was making a comfortable amount of money. I was willing to take a minor pay cut in order to give myself time to write.
And I love that. I wanted to make sure we covered that before I forgot. Other people heard it. So you have had more time to write, which means we have some things to talk about. So let's talk about some of that writing. And you've had several changes and choices this year. You've had a lot going on this year. So tell us a bit about your writing projects and some of the other things you do associated with your writing.
Yeah, so this is like a crazy story. I'm going to have to do a minor time jump and go back to 2019 when I was in that transition period. And I had gone to Rockapock, which is a writing world building event led by Jay Thorne and Zach Bohannon. And at that event was the moment that I found my author community. And I really felt this like exponential growth moment when I was finally like around other authors that really wanted to pursue this as a career. And I wasn't really held up in this nutshell of being like just writing on my own and trying to figure it out. So that 2019 moment has led to several short stories. It's led to finding a co-author in a six book series that I'm still working on, but we are on like book four. So by still working on it, like we're making some pretty decent progress. And I have released a vella with the wonderful dialogue, Dr. Jeff Elkins.
Yes. And you also started a podcast with Christine.
Yes, I did. But oddly enough, I have two podcasts. And oddly enough, Right Away Podcast, Chris had 10-ish episodes out. And she realized that she wanted people to know who she was. And she didn't want that to be an awkward, like her having that conversation to her audience as to who I am. She wanted that interview. And so it just so happened that I was like, I'll interview you. And we really clicked. And after that, we ended up being, she invited me on to be a co-host. And then shortly after that, Serial Fiction Show, which arose after the announcement of Vella, Christine Daigle, she realized that there was a missed opportunity with podcast and short fiction involving like serialized fiction. And she was like, hey, I want to do this podcast. And she was like, you want to be my co-host? I was like, absolutely. So those are the podcasts I'm on.
And we'll put some links in the show notes for anyone that would care to go check those out. That'd be cool. So you were talking about a series that you've been working on with Abe. Are the first couple out, or are you waiting until you get them all done?
We are waiting until books 1, 2, and 3 are through all of the processes. So right now, 1 has been beta read, and we've got notes on that. 2, we've had the diagnostic edits, and we're going through editing that before it goes to beta. And then 3, I'm currently editing, and he is drafting book 4. After he's done drafting it, we're going to really focus on 1, 2, and 3, and we plan on starting to release that Q1 of next year.
Nice.
With the plan that books 1, 2, and 3 are going to be as ready as we can make them to release those in some type of a rapid, quote unquote, rapid release structure. And then we're going to focus on 4, 5, and 6.
Okay. So you get the first 3 out quickly, and then the next 3 will be a little more spaced. So hopefully people jump on it. What tell us a little bit about that series. Because actually, by the time this goes live, it'll probably be just about out.
Ooh, fun. It is a dark urban young adult fantasy. That was a mouthful. I had to think of the right terms. But basically, it has this really cool deep dive into Kabbalah mysticism from the viewpoint of Abe, who is a practicing Jew, and myself, who I'm a little bit more occulty. So we were able to approach the same concept through different viewpoints, and we developed this really fun magic system based off of it. But you're talking like that magic school, secret government agency kind of stuff with demons, and it's a fun write. I can't wait till we have something more out that I can well define.
Okay, nice. So we'll have to look for it, and you know, I can add a link to it in the show notes. That'd be cool. Now, you do have a process of writing, or you have a technique you use for some of your writing that a lot of people find very unique. I hope you tell us about that.
Are we talking three-story method?
Nope, your cards.
Oh, tarot cards. Yeah. Yes. I love using tarot cards because it brings an aspect of chaos or like that alternative thought into the process. I, for one, I'm really weird about structure. And sometimes I know that if I just sat down without using tarot cards, that I could come up with probably the same story over and over again. But by using tarot cards in key points, like choices that the character makes, or other aspects or events that happen to the character, I'm bringing that moment of chaos into writing that leads to a different path than it would have taken if I had just written it. So I personally, and I'm going to keep promoting this, I promote it like everywhere I go. I personally love 5-Cent Tarot by Madame Clara, because for writers, this is your like in and out tarot cards. And I'm going to show it for if there is a post on YouTube. But there is on the tarot cards little suggestions as to what that means, which as a writer, this is perfect because it tells me 3 things about this card in whichever position. So I've pulled like the 6 of needles. I have the words passage moving on and healing. I can use those words to think up while I'm writing a scene. How does that impact the scene? How are those keywords without having to look into a booklet? I can tell you from tarot cards that don't have the words on them, looking up booklet, it takes time. So 5-Cent Tarot, Madame Clara, that's my suggestion.
Nice. And you mentioned three-story method. I know you've used that in conjunction with that. So when you get your conflict, choice, and consequence, you use tarot cards for each one of those. How does that work out for you?
It's fun. So what it does is it gets me out of that brain space and it helps me think through the process. So I'll pull the 3 cards for conflict, choice, and consequence. And I'll try to correlate it to like where the character would be within the story. I'm like trying to interpret what I want the scene to look like versus what these keywords are kind of like giving me for this scene. Sometimes I don't listen to them as a writer when a card does not work, when you're like, okay, that's great, but I need like a murder scene and I can't have like happy bunnies in it. That just doesn't work for this moment. But a lot of the time the cards, it's all about your perception, your interpretation. It's really just a reflection on like your own internalization of what these words mean. So it's not like some mystical outside force. But by doing that, you get this way of forcing your current mindset out of the way to get that different perspective. Like, how could I shift and change this scene to be a little different than I would have normally written?
Nice. So that's besides you and Jimmy, that's two of the most interesting author discussions, I think, different ways of doing it. So I love that. I appreciate it. Now let's talk about your Vella. Because that is something that is out that people can actually go to right now. Tell us about your Vella series.
Yes. So Nerds, and it's called Nerds National Recently Deceased Services. So a little backstory here. When I started Serial Fiction Show, we reached out to certain authors that we figured would be doing a Vella. And we wanted to be like, hey, are you doing one? Because we want you on the show. And I reached out to Jeff Elkins, and he was like, I'm not. You want to do one together? And I was like, oh, no, because, of course, I'm someone who says yes to a lot of things, and I was not going to pass up that opportunity. So we got to talking, and we developed Nerds, and it's a government agency. You can see a theme here. And it's a government agency who deals with the transition of the recently deceased into the afterlife. And they also deal with hauntings. So really our tagline is The Office Meets Ghostbusters. And if that trips your trigger, that's what we're going for. It's supposed to be funny. It's supposed to be like a lighthearted ride, but we do talk about themes of death, but through that perspective and that lens of comedy to try and lessen or lighten the blow.
Nice. And how have things been going with Vella as far as readership, getting it out there?
From what I have seen and the people I've been talking to, it's been going well. Now, the Vella community, like we have Discords and like on Instagram, we all follow each other. The author community is like thriving, and it's really like people are promoting each other, and it's just this really nice communal feeling. Personally, I think Nerds is doing fairly well. We got a significant amount of reads our launch day, and then through October, like we sustained a good amount of those reads, and we can see those on a daily basis if you're like me and you can't stop. But it was decent to see that, yes, there is a response to this and that we do have a decent amount of readers. And there's this like crowning system, and we currently have a crown, which means that we're within the top 250 of all of the Vellas, and there's several thousand of them. I would say personally, I think Nerds is doing well. I really like it personally, and it's a good thing because I helped write it. So
good. So why did you choose that particular topic and that with the government agency and the paranormal and all that? Why choose that and not fantasy or something?
So Jeff had a short story that really reflects episode 2 of Nerds. And ultimately, he tossed a couple of short story ideas to me. He said, hey, here's where my head's at. Here are some things that would be cool in this serialized form. And that one struck a bell with me because I've always wanted to write that sort of modern day secret government agency. You're talking like Fringe, Adjustment Bureau even, but that, or Men in Black as well, but that like undertone of something is off with the world, and you're able to view from that lens that government. And I don't know, like that just really intrigues me. So I basically took his short story idea, we talked through it, and we expanded it into a bigger world that we really are excited to explore.
Nice. And you mentioned Office and Ghostbusters. It sounds almost like a little X-Files in there, maybe some Fringe, that type of thing.
Yes. Yep. So for the comedy aspect, we were really focusing on The Office and Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And then for the supernatural, Ghostbusters, of course, but Fringe, I would say. And right now we're focused on ghosts and on hauntings, but at no point do we suggest that's the only thing that's wrong with this world. So there's definitely room for more oddities as we go along that will liken to more X-Files and that kind of thing.
Nice. Okay. And what is the feedback you're getting from readers?
They have been enjoying it. So there hasn't been a ton of like direct comments, especially because the Vella system doesn't have a commenting section. However, we've gotten a few messages. People have said that they've really enjoyed reading it. Nothing that has directed like what people would like to see more of, which is something that this is the part of serialized fiction that I really like, especially on things like Wattpad, where you have that direct communication with your readers, and they can almost drive the narrative based off of what they're interested in, if you let them. And I really want a little bit more of that. So I'm hoping that in the future, maybe in an update in Vella, they'll offer that as like an option for commenting. But right now we see it through liking, and they follow us on our JT Blakely Instagram, which, as a side note, if you're on Vella and you do a co-author, you have to have a like one name. So we made up one. We're very open about that, but it was just, we were restricted by Vella's rules. So JT Blakely is the name, and we encourage people through these author notes, which are at the bottom of each of these episodes. And we encourage them to go onto Instagram and Twitter and let us know what are their thoughts. And like I said, we've just been getting positive feedback, people liking it, but nothing that's really directed the narrative.
Okay, nice. And I'm assuming if you had a choice, you'd want this to be a TV show rather than a movie.
Absolutely. So it's in the comedy sitcom platform. That's really what we're trying to emulate with it. You get your weekly episode of Nerds In. It's like watching an episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine or The Office, but that's the feel that we want for our readers.
Okay, nice. Give us a couple more questions and we're going to talk some more author stuff. Where can we, obviously, Vella, where are you going to release your book series? And do you have a website? Tell us those types of things.
Yeah, the Nerd series we also have on a website called fictionate.me. It's mainly for our international readers, which we have a couple, because Vella is currently limited to U.S. customers. So because of that, we wanted to make sure there was another platform. So we checked all the rules and Fictionate checked all those boxes. So we have it up there as well for international. And then for the 6-book series, Abe and I, we are going the route of Kindle Unlimited for the moment, based off of different discussions with different authors who highly recommend it. And so they are authors that we trust, and we are going to go with that route of releasing it in Kindle Unlimited, testing it out there, and then we'll go from there.
Nice.
As for like where you could find the releases, I have a website, jpreindflushix.com. If you go into Google and you just type in JP space R-I-N-D, I'm pretty sure I'm the first one that will show up, so you're fine. Otherwise, it's R-I-N-D-F-L-E-I-S-C-H-I-X.
And if anything, just ignore numbers 1 through 8. Go look for number 9.
The 9th, yes. And that is because I am the 9th John Reinflush, so.
Yeah, which I always thought was great.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
Yeah. It's because my name's always been hard to spell, and I've got a lot of friends and stuff hard names, and I just imagine yours is difficult. People misspell it and mispronounce it all the time.
Yep.
So I honestly, when I, you know, met you, I thought it was your author pseudonym. And I was like, well, that's a really cool name. I can't think of anything that good. You didn't even have to think of it, just given to you.
Nope, it's just there. And there's so much irony to it. So originally I was going to be JP Douglas, and I had actually released a short story under that name. And then I realized that there was an author in the sci-fi universe. He had a few books out, but he was a sci-fi author. And I was like, well, if I ever dip my toes into sci-fi, I don't want to blend over.
J.P. Douglas, actually?
Yeah, so J.P. Douglas. So then I reverted back to my original name. And there's some irony there. It means ground meat, which makes me laugh, especially because I don't eat meat. So it always makes people laugh whenever they see the name. And then like on conferences that I've gone to where they have like dinner plans, I always put like vegetarian or vegan. And they're just like, is this a joke? And I'm like, no, it's real.
That's pretty awesome. This series that's coming out soon, probably really soon after this episode, tell people why they should go get it when it comes out.
Man, if you want something that is urban fantasy, but with darker themes and something that just is a little bit deeper, it holds that kind of theological questioning. And we definitely dive into aspects of what is humanity and those kind of really deep questions. But in a young adult urban fantasy setting, like that's the kind of stuff that I love to read. I highly recommend it because it's fun. I really love exploring the creepy and dark and strange. My tagline is that I'm the curator of things dark, strange, and queer. And I definitely feel like most of those aspects hit this. And I just really like it. Maybe it's a little self-centered to say that you like everything that you write, but I feel like sometimes there are some things I've written where I'm like, oh, I don't like this. I love this story. It's just, it has a lot of heart to it. There's a lot of heartbreak in it. And there's just something about it that I don't want to let it go in one aspect. So I'm really excited for people to see it.
Nice. Great. Cool. Thanks for telling us about the books. I'll make sure we have some links. It's great talking about it. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Discovered Wordsmiths. Come back next week and listen to another author discuss the road they've traveled, and maybe, sometime in the near future, it might be you.